didn't hear, you need to hear that my wife's still kin to Melvin. She still acts like a pain. I say, first of all, today, I'm glad that in October of 1960, I can know the Lord Jesus Christ. I put off the old clothes, and the Lord clothed me in His righteousness. And ever since that day, I've been headed toward home. And a little while, I'm heading back to the capital of the United States. Or the world, I believe Hinkle says. But it's good to be here, and what a privilege it is to be with you folks here at the West Side Camp Meeting on the 20th anniversary. I think it's just been a great blessing these days together. I have something on my heart today. It's not the usual type of messages that I preach in a camp meeting, but I'm not going to tell you that it's not a camp meeting message. Because I believe if it comes out of the Word of God and God gives it to you, it'll fit camp meeting, revival, funeral, anywhere else. And if God says preach it, it fits. I'm not going to say it. It's not a camp meeting message. It may not be an exalted message, but I think it'll be a challenging, needful message for our day in which we live. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. I probably won't get through with all the points that I have, but when my time comes, wherever I am, I'll quit. I respect the man that's in charge. And if he says, give you so much time, I respect that. And I'm not going to go over that. I'll be somewhere in that category. So if you'll read with us, and I think if you read the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, if you change the word Judah and Israel and use the word America, I think the rest of it would be fit America just like it did Judah and Israel. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that what Isaiah says here concerning Judah, if he were prophesying today, he would say the same thing in our country. And I think what he said here would just be the same thing as reading tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible is that far up to date. So read with me, if you will, about 20 verses in this chapter. He said, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. And when He talks, we better listen. Look what He said in the following verses. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes upon you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I believe today, spiritually, politically, and morally, Isaiah gives us a great picture of our nation tonight, or today. And I think today, as we read these verses and we look at the picture that he gave, my thought to you today would be this: can America survive? My answer to that is very simple. No. Without God, she can't survive. I'm saying today, politically, morally, and spiritually, America can never survive without God. We have today, politically, in our government, my friend, the people are so dependent upon the government. But I say to all of us today that a government that is big enough to give you everything you want and everything you need is also big enough to take everything you've got. And my friend, we're living and we're heading in that direction in this country. In the history, my friend, of every nation, their primary two words I want to use in an introduction today. First of all, there is a rise of that nation. the rise of that nation. It is a time of the grace of God being given to that nation. It is a time when the blessing of God spiritually and materially has come upon that nation. It is a time when, my friend, from the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch of our country have respected the word of God. They have, my friend, not only respected him, but they have tried to practice biblical principles in all three branches of our government. And in the rise of our nation, we have seen that, or we have read about that. But my friend, there does come a time, secondly, in the ruin of a nation. It is a time, my friend, when the spiritual blindness has gripped, my friend, from the executive branch, the legislative branch, to the judicial branch of our government. And because it has also brought spiritual blindness to these three branches in the government that's supposed to lead us and guide this nation, it is also producing spiritual blindness in the people that they are supposed to lead politically in our world. We live in America today, but hear me very well. America today is trying to be overtaken by ultra-liberals in our society. And my friend, through these ultra-liberals appointing radical liberal judges are trying to control our land and say or do things that are not according unto the word of God or what our country was founded upon. So in a time of the ruin of a nation, it's time when their spiritual blindness, physical prosperity may continue. But the spiritual prosperity has just about gone from the country that we live in. It is a time, brother, when people become blinded to the principle or spiritual principles and biblical principles taught in the Word of God. It is a time when character and honesty and morals doesn't matter anymore. I would say today, brother, we are living in that day in America. It is a time, brother, following what I just said about the honesty and the character and the morals doesn't matter anymore in our country. And I could talk a long time about that, but I don't have time. I want to move on. It comes to my film to the place. The next thing on the agenda of God for that kind of a nation is nothing left but the judgment of God to come upon a nation, my friend, who has forgotten the principles of the Word of God and no longer govern that nation by the standards of the Word of God. There's nothing left but the judgment of God. And America will never survive unless America turns her heart back to God. Now see today, brother, I believe America was built upon a firm foundation by faith in God Himself. But you see, when the nation neglects to continue on the foundation she was built upon, then problems are going to come. Problems, my friend, when the nation begins to undermine the sanctity of the home, undermine the values, my friend, of the home, undermine, brother, the principles God, our marriage is built upon. It is a time when people, my friend, have no regard for human life. It is a time when people are trying to rule without the authority to rule. It is a time, my friend, when leaders today are doing what seems right in their own eyes and not according to the Word of God. I would say today, and hear me well, my friend, when you come to rule, there is no rule without authority. And there's no authority, my friend, outside the Word of God to rule by.
And when you take the word of God out, they have no authority to rule them, and they have no authority to make the decisions they're making, because it's not based upon the authority of the word of God. They're doing what seems right in their own eyes. It doesn't matter what God says, and the word of God says today in which we live. Now the proverb writer in chapter 14 verse 34, he said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach. So if you want to exalt a nation, there's got to be righteousness. And the only standard for righteousness is found in the Word of God. Outside of that kind of righteousness, everything else is as filthy rags in the sight of God. There is none that pleases God outside of God's righteousness himself. Let me give you a couple of things. I have four, but I'm sure I will not get all of these down. First of all, in the Word of God here, Marvin, I want you to find that people in America are dishonoring God. You find that in verses 2 through 6 in the book of Isaiah that I just read in your hearing. He spoke in verse 2 about rebellion against God. Now, if you read down in verse 5 and verse 6, you'll find that he's talking about in those two verses that Isaiah lived that is spiritually in the diseased society. Boy, can you not see the society we live in is diseased today? Matter of fact, the Bible said in verse 5 that the whole head is sick. Now, when he's talking about the whole head, he's talking about the government. They're the leadership, they're the hand of a nation, and our government today, brother, is sick. You find that a nation, brother, in leadership, my friend, tries to take God out of society and God out of the schoolhouse and the courthouse, and brother, trying to get God out of everything in the country. You better believe that government is sick. He said, brother, they're sick. Then he said, the whole heart is faint. Now, the heart of a nation is its people. That's right. So the head is sick. And because the head is sick, brother, the people in America are fading. And spiritually, they're turning away from the spiritual things of God to find, brother, pleasure and satisfaction in things of this world rather than in God and His Word. Can you say amen? It's because we have a sick leadership. Brother, it's causing people to grow faint and weary in the journey. And it's causing some to give up and say it's no need. We can't turn this thing around. No, we can't. But there's a God in heaven, brother, that can turn this thing around. He proves that in verse 18. Brother, the Word of God, he proves that in those last three verses. He tells us what he will do if we repent and turn to him. But he tells us what he will do if we don't do that. So America today, brethren, is dishonoring God. They're rebelling against God. Then in verse 3, he talks about the revealings of the people. He said, my people no longer consider. They're very inconsiderate people. And in that being a very inconsiderate people, they have become very ungrateful to the blessings of God of our nation. You hear me today? This nation has been blessed. It has been blessed with the blessings of God. But people in our nation are ungrateful for the blessings of God. They're very inconsiderate people about the blessings of God and about the heritage of God. Well, I'm glad for my heritage. Amen. 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 But a lot of people, my friend, in our country have become so spiritually famed that they have forgotten the heritage that they came from. I appreciate, my friend, what these old people that come before me have paved the way and established in the house of God convictions and the things that honor God. I praise God for the people that have died on the battlefield. Brother, for the heritage I have today and the freedom I have today to worship God and to come to camp meeting like that. But a lot of people are inconsiderate of the blessings of God and their heritage. They care less about their heritage. But hear me. The Bible said here in that verse, the ox knoweth his owner. He knows who owns him. He knows who feeds him. And the ass knows where the crib is. Amen. Brother, he's talking about the ox and the donkey. They know who owned them. And they know where the crib is. And they know where to go to get food when they need food. I want you to say, I say today, spiritually, my friend, the crib today is the house of God. But we have people that don't have sense enough, Carl, to know that. That the house of God, God put through the church today, and the people of God and the preachers of God, He's placed that as a spiritual crib in our society. And brother, I'm glad I got enough sense to know where my crib's at. But the multitudes don't know that. They think it's out yonder somewhere else. They may think it's there on a Sunday morning, that even when they come, their heart is not where their body is. If it was, Brother Dale would be back on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. They'd be coming back to the corn crib. Thank God to get some corn, fresh corn. They'd be coming back to get help. They'd be coming back, my friend. Hey, I've got sense enough, brother, to know where I'm going to be fed. That's where I'm going. A lot of people wrapped up in religion. And a lot of churches have nothing more than religion. Don't have a corn crib. That's right. Brother Doug, they done run out. But they fill that corn crib up with other things other than the corn from God and the meal of God. And they're filling it up and they're trying to feed the world or the people in the house of nothing but what the prodigal son ate in the hog pen, and that's nothing but husk. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. You can say this is not camp meeting if you want, but God put this on my heart, and I'm going to share it with you. My friend, the church is our crib, and we better learn that. We better teach our people to learn that brother, their help and their food spiritually is not going to come from out yonder. It's going to come from the house of God, where God has put up a spiritual corn crib for the people of God to come. And I could dwell on that for a long time, but let me move on to number two, lest I don't get number two done. Not only dishonoring God, but brother, they're discrediting the Lord's day. He said in verse 4, he said they have forsaken the Lord. Now the nation here had forsaken God. They had taken God's day and made it their day. Amen. Now what I'm going to tell you in a minute, I hope you chew on it and I hope you swallow it and I hope you keep it down. Because it ain't going to suit well with everybody, I know that. Matter of fact, there's a lot of things in this book don't suit well with my flesh either. Amen. But when my fit don't suit my flesh, I just have to keep it chewed and swallowed, Brother Brian, because I know it's good, I know it's right. They have taken the day of God and made it their day. Isaiah gives more details about this in Isaiah chapter 58, if you want to read that. But what I'm saying, we have made the day of God a day of pleasure instead of a day of worship. We have built the day of God around pleasure rather than around a person. We are using the day of God as a day of convenience instead of a day of conviction. My friend, today, and we talk about the old timers and what they preach and what they stood for. And brother, they preach and they stood for it. But a lot of people, they believe it, but they don't practice it. I'm talking about conservative people. I ain't talking about liberals. Boy, we made the day of God a day of convenience, rather than convictions. That's why, brother, when I grew up, there was no stores or businesses open on Sunday. Nothing but one drugstore. And the only thing they could buy, Brother Eddie, on Sunday was prescribed medicine. Of course, they don't call it drugstore. It's pharmacies. But that's what it was. It is a drugstore. No businesses operated on Sunday. No sporting events operated on Sunday. They would not let my friend ball games play played on Saturday night. And if they went to midnight, they had to shut her down. Say amen. But what about today? Sunday has become the biggest business day for our stores in our country. It has become the biggest business day for our restaurants on Sunday. My wife and I here some time ago went on a Monday to a restaurant for lunch. Of course, you wouldn't hardly anybody there. And we said, I guess today is kind of a slow day. Which day is your busiest day? You know what the waiter said? Sunday. Now listen to me. There's people that are employed in these places of business have to go to work to keep their employment, to feed church people who leave the house of God on Sunday and go to the restaurant to eat. People employed in the days of business they have to work on Sunday, brother, to take care of the crowds that are going to come and patronize them on Sunday. You say, preacher, you must not eat out on Sunday. I don't. I don't shop on Sunday. How come? It's a day of worship. Amen. Boy, she's getting quiet. But I'm telling you the truth. This is where we are. This is why we are in the problem we are in today. We have forsaken God. And brother, God's turning his back upon a nation that has violated the day of God as we have in this hour. Here, eating out and shopping on Sunday is a convenience. It's not a conviction. If your convictions are based upon the Word of God, brother, you can't find it anywhere in the Scriptures. You say, well, preacher, don't you believe if the ox gets in the ditch on Sunday, you're to pull him out? Yeah. But if I had an ox that got in the ditch every Sunday, I'd kill him. I'd get rid of him. Amen. You people may not want me back at this camp meeting anymore. But let me tell you something. When I leave out of here today, I can leave with a clean heart and leave with peace in my mind. I've told you what did God put on my heart to say. We're desecrating the day of God, and no nation can continue to do so and survive. Israel got to the place that they desecrated the Sabbath. They would not take that day off. They would not let the land rest. They would not let the business rest on Sunday or Sabbath day to them. And brother, because of that, they spent 70 years in the Babylonian captivity. And God tallied it up. 70 years they had forgot. They'd use the day of God as a day of convenience, not what God set it up for. Now, some of you need to listen to me. Don't look up here at the crane. It's still standing. I like people to look at me so I know you're paying attention. So we're what? We're desecrating the day of God. And he said you're provoking God to anger him. When people disregard the word of God or the claims of God, you provoke God to anger. That can be individually. It can be churches and nations. And brother, people disregard the word of God. They're provoking God to anger. Hallelujah. Say amen. When they ignore what God says, the society grows bolder in sin. And they tempt God and defy God more often. Amen. Well, let me go to another point. Not only have they forsaken God, but brother, there comes next of all a formality of worship. He said, ye have gone away backwards. Any individual, any church or any nation that produces manifest worship to formality, in that you're going backwards. Amen. You're going backwards. So they had forsaken God. They had, gone to formality worship, and they departed from the truth of God. Now we're living in a society that had programmed God out of everything. And I'm talking about churches now. And they programmed socialized things in. Now, there's nothing wrong with some social meeting. Don't misunderstand me. But if that takes priority, and if that's what people come for, they may be here, but they're still going backwards. God set the church up not to be that a formality, but to come and worship God in spirit and in truth. And brother, to come and get spiritual help from the corn crib of God. He didn't set the church up to come and be entertained at. He didn't set the church of God up by freedom for socialism. He didn't set it up for pleasure. He set it up where we could come to worship God, get help for our life, and leave the house of God and go out of here and brother, serve God like God has saved us, called us for. But if you don't come to the corn crib, you're not going to do a whole lot when you get away from the corn crib. It's calling to formality, departing from the truth. We're living in the times of apostasy. And in the times of apostasy, it is not people falling from grace. In? No. They have never experienced grace. By the rule, they are departing from the truth. That's what apostasy is. When churches depart from the truth that God set up in the Word of God, that, brother, they are promoting apostasy. And in our nation, we see that. Let me give you three things very hastily. That in the days of apostasy, I want you to remember this. In the days of apostasy, first of all, remember God never changes. Even though churches, even though preachers, even though a nation has departed from the truth, it didn't change God. He's still the God of truth. Doesn't change God. Secondly, the word of God don't change. Now some of you younger preachers better get this. God don't change. Neither does His Word. And I don't care what my friends, society, and religions preach and teach and promote. I have other versions of the Bible. Stay with the one God inspired and preserved for our generation. And I think that's a King James version of the Bible. You say, preacher, I know the original manuscripts were inspired. I do too. But I also know that God preserved. He took the original manuscripts. Hey, if we had the original manuscript, you couldn't read it. Why? It's written in Hebrew and it's written in Greek. And I don't know a lot about Hebrew and Greek. So God, brother, through the King James Version, brother, back in 1600s, he got some godly men, and brother, they translated from Hebrew to Greek the King James Version of the Bible, and preserved, my friend, the inspired, infallible Word of God in the King James Version for this generation. You say, preacher, why are you preaching like that down here? Well, I figure you people down here in Georgia need that. Because I know we people in North Carolina do need it. Not only, brother, remember that God never changes. His Word don't change. And God don't ever work contrary to the Word of God. You better remember those three things. God never changes. This book don't change. And God never works contrary to the book that is given us. I'm going to stop here. My time is up. I have two other points. And I'm not going to tell you, but the next point is they're degrading the truth. And the last one, they're dishonoring their bodies that God created an image and likeness of God. What people are promoting today in the body, God didn't make it for that purpose. I wish I had the committee to go to that, because it's getting more prevalent. And he tells us in the scriptures, we're becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. We're putrefying. Wounds and sores are putrefied. And we will not let God put the oil and the ointment on it to heal it up. And it never will through government. And I say today, and let me say in closing, give this thought with you. The only step forward for America today is a step backward. And we have people running across our country today and campaigning. Now listen, what they're telling you in their campaign speeches, they're wanting you to believe something and hint you they're different from what they are. If you want to know what they are, don't look at what they're saying on the camera. They're trying to convince you, brother, they're different. Go back and check the record. Go back and check their voting record. That tells you what they are, not what they're trying to convince you they are. So the only step for America to go forward is not through these politicians that are running across this country and telling you about the war and the economy and all this stuff.
The only step forward for America is a step back to God.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Back to